Wow, Mike and Mike Off Air podcast number 18. That's pretty cool.
Do you have any memories of being an 18-year-old? Is that asking too much of you?
I'm not that old, Mike.
Anything you can say.
My joke, whenever I think of those things, was my old joke was, is my wife has often said things like, God, it would be great to be 18 again. And I look at her, and she's referring to, you know, muscularly or her figure. And I'm like, no. My 18-year-old brain and a quarter had about the same value. And then I realized, oh, no, I had a brain. I just never used it. I just didn't use it. So
before we get to what you have in mind, keeping in the holiday spirit that we have the past couple of podcasts we've dropped on. And by the way, would love it if you went back and checked out some of the other podcasts that we've been doing. This has kind of been evolving over time to kind of see how this all started with number 1, 2, and 3, and now all the way up to 18. Do you remember, or what comes to mind if I were to ask you, the best Christmas present you ever gave to anyone? And while you're thinking, I'll tell you about one that I got my dad at one point when I think I had a part-time job at the time. I was probably going to college at San Francisco State University. My dad, I've always said this before he passed, was a pessimist's pessimist. And most people look at the glass as being half full or half empty. My dad complained about the glass. It's too big. It's too small. It's got a crack in it. It looks a little. So that was that, and I loved him, but that was my dad. So one year for Christmas, I got him a Murphy's Law calendar. So every day of the month had a different saying, a Murphy's Law-ism, if you were, like things that can go wrong, will. And I remember for the entire day, he sat in his recliner. And he'd be thumbing through the calendar, and we'd just start bust up laughing on occasion. And then he'd have to read it, and then thumb through a couple others, bust up laughing, and read another one. And that was his entire Christmas day.
Well, I'm glad he enjoyed it. It's always nice when a gift goes well. As a dad, I mean, every Christmas was magical because we lived vicariously through them, especially in general. But the gift, Colleen and I wanted to give both of our girls laptops.
Okay.
And I forget, it was one of you don't understand. When it comes to Black Friday, for years, my wife was a ninja Black Friday shopper, both in terms of setup, where she was going, what she was getting when she got there, and how to figure out where they were. Walmart played this game for a while where you had to line up. They wouldn't tell you where the line was going to be for the PlayStation or for the laptops or whatever. Well, my wife worked there for a while.
Ah.
I knew people there. I'd be like, where's the PlayStation going to be? and they wouldn't tell me, but they'd look over by the basketball court. Okay, got you, Mary. And one year, I wanted to get the laptops. And these things were so cheap, it was stupid. But they were good laptops. And I got them. And I was so pleased for them because you'd have thought that I'd given them each new cars. That these laptops, they took care of them. They lasted a while. They used them well. They were valuable to them. They really were one of the best gifts beyond teaching them things they need to know. But, I mean, in terms of physical gifts, things, the laptops definitely.
Very cool.
How about you?
Well, again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Your dad. Okay, duh. All right. Well, there you go. That's a good hijack, man. Well, here for today, I want to kind of look at this. Because I need some help here. I think we all do. Organizational skills. The way we do things. Like for me, the way I do things at work, to keep on track, to get my job done in some sort of a timely and useful fashion. And I've had to, because I'm ADD, very, very, very ADD. And it's hard for me to stay on track. And so I've had to put together a bunch of systems and borrow things from other people. What, you know, in order to execute my day and get through it. I'll be interested. I'll tell you some of the things I do, but I'll be interested in to hear some of the things you do if they're not on this list at all. One of the things I do is every single day, Monday through Friday, I have a work checklist. I have my Monday checklist, and it has the 8 or 10 things I have to do that day that are different than Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. I have to meet with my boss to do this imaging thing, blah, blah, blah. So I have that. I check them off because if I don't, they won't happen. So I do that, believe it or not. And there's spaces on there for me to add in. Oh, Mike Pesto reminded me we've got to do the podcast today. It wasn't on there. Oh, don't forget that. And we do that. And another one for me, and thank all I can say is in terms of me getting through, even getting up and then getting through my days, is thank God for the iPhone. Because if it weren't for, I'm not even exaggerating, probably 11 alarms in a day for me.
That many?
Starting, I mean, with wake up, boob.
Okay.
And then, you know, I get to work, I clock in, okay, plus 8 equals time. And then I'll, and right then when I clock in, I'll set my lunch in, lunch out alarm. So, because I can get in the middle of things here, or a salesperson can get me on the phone. I mean, I in our radio stations here, I have a lot to do with creating commercials and contacting our salespeople, working with clients. I can get lost with one of them in a minute and then for a while. And then all of a sudden, I've worked 40 minutes through my lunch. So, ding, ding, ding. People know, okay, hold on, I'll be right back. Clock in, clock out. Yeah, I've got, and 11's too many, probably more like 7. Okay. But they're there because they, towards the end of the day, ding, go get Sean his medication. Sean's a special adult. I had to get medicine for him before he goes to bed at night.
Okay.
Ding, ding. Okay. Did you Thursday, did you put the trash out? I don't want to pay $20.
So your phone has become the old school tying a string around your finger.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And you've heard all my – you were making fun of one of them just a minute ago. Ding, 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 ding. But without those, I wouldn't get anything done. And in my file cabinet, I've created a whole bunch of how-to document files for, like, when someone has to do my job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a lot of those. I'm going to be out tomorrow, Mike. Would you handle this for me? Well, how do I do that?
And I'm very good at keeping those when you hand those out. So if the protocols, if the procedures ever change as software updates here, there, and everywhere, I'm sure it does in most offices – when those protocols change and you're going to be out for more than a day, please send out another email because I have your protocols from, I think, a year or so ago with downloading some things that we need to download and where it needs to go and how it gets divvied up and then who does what. So.
And they change so often. I mean, we don't even, some of the stories we're not even doing anymore. But, yeah, they do need to be maintained. And it's incredible. So an active physical and digital file cabinet, too, for things I do regularly. I have a digital one, too, where I store things. We just installed, in fact, today, we just installed new software on our production computers in order to do the work we do. And I have the activation key and the log, how to, where to download it from, and it's stored there for if I get – I always joke with my boss, Randy, you know, if the beer truck finally hits me, everything's here. Everything's here. Everything's in this file. Everything's in this file.
Tell him. Don't tell me. I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah, me neither. That's a common joke between Randy and me. You can't be sick. I'll have to do your work. Not, are you feeling better? Are you?
Yeah.
And something I learned in counseling, I'm embarrassed at 65 years old when I learned it, is my counselor, he made an A, a B, and a C on a chalkboard. He always used this chalkboard.
Okay.
The A was what needs to be accomplished. B, the way I've chosen to go about doing it. And C, the benefits and the results of me doing this job.
Okay.
I learned that I am so black and white that I never change my B, ever. Even if I get in my own way.
Interesting.
I'm going to do it this way. And then I'll drive the car into a tree. Trying to do it that way. And so the point of this long dissertation, being willing to rearrange or change the way I originally decided to do the task as it unfolds in order to do a better job of it. And an active appointment calendar I can see and change on my phone because just because I'm at my desk doesn't mean anything. If I can't see it on my phone, I've been called by so many people. Hey, can you do an appointment for such and such? Hold on. I'll tab. Oh, yeah, I'm free. Put it on, and then ding, it shows up, accept, done. I don't have to think about it again. My wife is still learning this lesson. She's at the doctor. Your next cleaning is in May. Then she takes the card, goes home, and loses it. Me, I say, hold on to the card. Siri, make an appointment for me on May 5th, Dr. Such and Such at 2 p.m. It's done. I don't have to think about it for 6 months. I mean, none of this is genius. But if I go about doing all of this every day, I have a pretty good, pretty successful, pretty useful day. What do you do that I'm not doing that I can steal? Because most of this, a good half of these things are stolen or given to me from mentors.
For me, it's just the repetitive nature of doing the monotonous things that I have to do on a daily basis, which we're in what we do with being on the air and doing all that aspect of our jobs. It's not the only thing that we do, obviously, but it's diametrically opposed to each other. We've got so many things that are business-like that have to be done. But yet when we're on the air, it's all about being creative and presenting things in a different way and having a fresh approach with things. But if you have a fresh approach to doing the things that you need to have done on a daily basis, that's when things fall through the cracks. It's the monotony that tells your brain, okay, I just did this. Now it's time to do that. Now I just did that. Now it's time to do this. And as long as I do everything in the proper – or I shouldn't say proper – in the same order every single day – I know I won't forget getting something done. But pull back the curtain a little bit. We had a consultant here in the building a few years ago that I've always been taught in radio, especially morning radio and doing the morning show on My 97.5, that when you have your features, you have your benchmarks, you want them at the same time every day so that people kind of set their watch to it so they know, oh, okay, when Mike is doing this, I should be in the car. When Mike is doing this, I should have dropped off the kids. And he kind of said, no.
Yeah, this caught me by surprise, too, I'm telling you
really
right now.
Really did, because he said the current thinking is, and he's done much more research into this than I have, is that, yeah, you keep the benchmarks, keep the features, but move them around on a daily basis. And don't tell people when you're going to do it, just they'll recognize the music bed or the way you start giving the delivery on something. I do something every morning called My Big Three. And I change when I do that because I used to always have that be the first break every morning because hey, people are just waking up. Well, some are. Some may want that information just as they get to work. Yeah. So give it to them then or what we celebrate that particular day, whatever it is. So I'm always moving stuff around contests that we do too.
Well, the way I looked at it because I went, wait, no, when I heard that first because Mike O'Neill, the radio listener, not the on-air guy, used to listen to my favorite radio stations and look forward to the funny, wacky way the news guy started the news or the feature that I like, blah, 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 blah. But then I thought more about it, and then this guy shared with me. He said, if they really like it, they'll wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully my listener will listen for longer. And I was like, oh.
If you think about it,
I see the value there. Then
it's probably the same reason that every 6 months or so, and I made a big deal about this when I first saw it a month or so ago, when Costco will just get a wild hair and rearrange stuff, like the whole as you walk in the one in Visalia, at least the whole right side of the store where all the food stuff is, they move like four or five aisles around. I'm like, where's the bread? I mean, I know they have bread.
It was here last week.
So it got me walking down an aisle and seeing some stuff I hadn't looked at before. So because I was in such a rut of, okay, I don't need what's on the left. I need what's on the right or vice versa. Now it got me looking in every direction. It's like, oh, I didn't even know they had this. So it gets you to appreciate other things they have. I'm guessing it's the same mindset with changing things around on the show is – well, maybe there are people who are just listening for that because they like it. There may be other things you do they might end up liking more.
Yeah, and they'll wait for it and or discover new things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there is value to it. I had a problem with it, but I think it goes back to that old radio adage. One of my favorite jokes when talking to programming people is, gee, we've been doing the same thing for 20 years. I can't imagine why the ratings are going down. Well, duh. You have to reinvent yourself all the time. A good example of that is George Strait. George's very latest song, whatever it was, doesn't sound anything like Amarillo by Morning in terms of the production values. But they're both George, and they're both 100% country. Being smart enough to update yourself, fit into the genre while still retaining your integrity. And George was somebody that could do that. So, yeah, I guess that's – it makes sense.
Yeah, and getting back to what we're talking about as far as organizing your day, using my phone a lot more as well. I've got I don't have as many alarms as you do. I've got my one to wake up, and this is where I'm a creature of habit. I know my alarm goes off at 4:15 every morning. I hit snooze twice.
Wow.
Always, unless I know I have to get to the station early, because that's kind of my The earliest I'd ever have to wake up is 4:15. So I know if I got a long day, I want to get a lot of stuff done before I start getting on with the show, I'm up at 4:15 taking my shower, or sometimes I'll take it the night before. But I know I can hit snooze twice. At 4:33, feet are in slippers, and I'm taking the dogs out and doing what I need to be get done so I can be here by 5 o'clock the latest. And so I've got that alarm on there, and the only other alarm I typically have, well, actually two now that I think about it, is when I first get in with the whole time clock, I will have a countdown timer. So it's 8 hours at that point. So I'll start my countdown as soon as I clock in. When I take my lunch, I will stop that countdown timer. Now, every once in a while, if I get pulled into this, that, and the other thing, I will forget to clock back in after my lunch. So I guess I could create an alarm there. And then there's something I have to do here at noon every day. So I've got an alarm that reminds me to do that.
Yep.
Outside of that, I could probably depend on it more. But again, for me, it's just been the repetitive nature of doing things in the same order every time. But then in your case, it's difficult because you'll get someone from sales in the middle of one of those tasks saying, Mike, I've got an emergency. This has to take precedence. And the GM is right behind them saying, yeah, Mike, this takes precedence. Like, okay.
Three times a day, Michael. It happens all the time. And it doesn't help that I'm ADHD off the chain. Uh-huh. So I'll get to the end of one long thing, and then I have to do what I call my ADHD walk around the station. I'll get up, stop what I'm doing, just take one big lap around the building, get a glass of water, and come back to the next thing. Because otherwise, I'm too focused, too close on a screen or on a desk or whatever I'm doing, and on to the next thing. So, yeah, those are ways. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, I don't have any other secrets other than that, and it sounds like it's something that's already in your repertoire as it is.
Yeah, I live for that phone. One thing I learned, I did a morning show for a year and a half. I learned, especially when getting – if I lived on my own and if I hit snooze, I might not get up that day. I have to get up and put my feet on the floor. I can't snooze. If I hit snooze, I'll sleep in.
Okay.
When the alarm goes up, stand up. And then I'm up. Yeah.
For me, and I read this somewhere that, and I changed my alarm because of this, that to ease yourself into the day is less shocking to your system. Over time, you can actually do some damage to yourself psychologically if it's a brash alarm and you immediately wake up. So mine kind of, it's not one of those iPhone alarms. It kind of eases into it. But I sense it coming, and I'll hit snooze, and then I won't really go back to sleep. Really, I'll just kind of assess my day, kind of think about things, kind of ease myself into it. I may doze off for a second or so, and then I'll hit snooze again. At that point, the dog is on my chest saying, it's time for me to go outside. I'm like, okay. By the second time I could hit snooze, I'm like, nope, it's time to hit. As soon as I see 4:33, it's okay, nope. Feet have to go in slippers. I have responsibilities now.
You have a better ability than I do. I'm a Darth Vader sleeper with a CPAP machine. I sleep so deeply.
Oh, okay.
That I have to. I had stand up or you won't is how it is for me. But whatever works for all of us, it sounds good.
Now, this brings to mind something that maybe, and I heard someone else talking about this recently, that maybe we can get into next week because I know the emphasis will be on me. Is out of the ordinary. Things that set your mind at ease. I'll have it better phrased and better articulated by the time
I know
get
where
together
you're
next
going,
time. But
and I'll have thoughts.
And the first thing that comes to mind is, as silly as this is, balancing the checkbook. And yes, I am one of those who actually still has a physical checkbook that I fill out with the iPad in front of me and my phone in front of me. And there's just something about having, and I put a little star next to the checkbook entry if it balances what the credit union says I have in there. And it's like bells and whistles, and all is right with the universe is I can put that little star next to it.
It's called if you know, you know. And if you know, even if you know you've only got $10 right now, you know.
Yeah, and the bank knows too.
And you won't go do something whimsical because. We're too old for that now. But I mean, when you know, you know. Even if you don't have as much money as you wish, at least you know if you're balanced and you're loaded and locked, you know you're where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, so we added a new wrinkle. So we did our hijack, our subject, and now maybe a little tease for what's coming up next time.
Ta-da! And that'll be podcast number 18?
This was 18.
This is 18.
Yeah.
We've done so many. Well, it's on you next time, sir.